Did you know that the letter J is the only letter that doesn't appear on the periodic table? We've got all sorts of fun, interesting facts and more coming up. We got lots of info, let's rock and roll, it's Did You Know with Rhino. Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Ryan O. In case you didn't know, I'm Ryan O, this is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. No, Silent Bob wasn't on the periodic table as well. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun, and you might even learn something. Yes, in Did You Know with Ryan O, the podcast, we go over fun facts, trivia, some science stuff, and we even talk about pop culture, and we get to know one another on a deeper and more fun level. And this episode, we're not doing it alone. Yes, folks, you've heard him on many, many other episodes of this podcast. He's also enjoying this lovely distancing of socialness that's going on. It's the one and only Nate Hampton. Hey, man, welcome to the podcast.
What's up? How's it going?
I am hanging out inside like most people are doing during this pandemic.
Like a responsible adult.
Well, I'm not that responsible because I did just play a couple hours worth of video games.
If you're ever going to do it, now's the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, gamers are probably going to complete at least one or two games this week.
Oh, you're I think you're lowballing it.
Probably. Is it like one a day? Is that what they're going for?
Yeah, maybe. I was like, that's what I'd be going for. If I was like 14, 15 again, you'd see something pretty special.
Yeah, I remember the good old days of when like Halo Reach came out.
Yes.
Back when we were in high school. And that game arrived and everybody was like, woo, yeah, awesome. Let's spend like 80 hours just playing online multiplayer and upgrading your armor.
It was good times.
Well, that was before they created the cash options like a lot of these microtransactions have.
Yeah, we didn't used to have that. That's why it kind of bothers us more than it bothers most younger people.
Because they're just so used to having to spend actual money to look cool.
Yeah, they don't know there used to be a better way.
Which is earning your armor.
Yeah.
But then again, so it's like us going to the mall to buy a shirt, or should I say like going to the mall and buying shoes as opposed to getting your grandfather's battle boots.
Yeah, pretty much.
This helmet was passed down from generations and generations and generations.
And now it is yours.
For a hefty price of 99 cents.
Sold.
Nice. So you guys have been doing what? A lot of working out, you were saying?
We're working out. We're watching a lot of movies. We bought this movie trivia game. It's called Blockbuster.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah, it actually looks like a Blockbuster video case rental.
Like one of those plastic VHS cases?
Yes.
Nice.
It's fun. You open it and like there's the first round is like it's called the battle round.
Okay.
Where like someone will pull a card and it'll be like name movies that start with S and you just go and you can't do sequels and stuff like that. But you just go until either no one does it or someone says something wrong. And then that team can go first. That's just to decide who goes first in the game. I was like, okay, I'm liking this.
So you have to work just to get started.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's a choice. So then what happens in the next round? Or how does like the actual game start then?
Well, if you win the battle round or whatever, you get to choose six cards and then you look at them all, and you pick like the three easiest ones for you, and you can give the three like hardest ones that you don't think the other team would be able to guess. There's like a board with three slots on each side. One is like a, like you have to, you can use one word to describe the movie. The other one is you quote it, or if you don't know a for sure quote, you can kind of make up a quote for a movie.
Okay.
Like if it's Avatar, you're like, I'm this giant blue man in outer space. What am I doing here? You're like, Avatar? Yes.
I was going to say The Watchmen.
Or yeah, something like that. But like if you, like with you, you would go Watchmen. Then I'd be like, no. Then you go Avatar? Yes.
Nice.
But nobody yesterday when at my house has seen Watchmen but me. So I'm not worried about that happening.
That's a bummer.
And the other one is you act it. You like act it out with no words, so like charades, basically.
Okay.
And once you get all eight genres of film that they have, you win. Your team wins.
Nice. So it's about basically guessing a whole bunch of movies.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, it would be. We would destroy all.
Yep. That. You and I be the ultimate tag team of movie knowledge champions.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I went full Macho Man. That's my bad.
That's fine. I went like a British Hulk Hogan.
I'm not mad at it.
I'm here, brother. Well, I guess British Hulk Hogan would be like, I am here, brother.
Brother.
Dost thou want to join thy new world order?
Indubitably.
Brother. So speaking of wrestling, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Just how sad are you?
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it?
No, I'm just kidding. Like, Sam and I are a little upset, obviously. We were going to go to WrestleMania. That was like a bucket list item for us both.
Because you've never been to WrestleMania yet.
No, not yet.
Okay.
And this one was right in our backyard. We're like, let's do it. But it's not going to happen this year.
Have they said they were going to reschedule it or anything? Or?
No, what they're doing in Vince McMahon's genius is he is not rescheduling it. He's just moving it to the Performance Center, and they're going to do it without an audience.
That doesn't sound that fun. Like, how...
No.
Have you seen them do the wrestling yet without a audience?
Yes, and it's something.
Are they still playing to the crowd? Like they walk out of the entrance to their music and they're all like, "Woo, look at me!"
Yeah, but it's like different.
It probably seems a little bit more somber of wrestling. Like instead of showboating in a ring, it's more like sounds like a soap opera with gladiatorial pursuits. Like a death match.
Right. And they do a lot more playing to the camera.
That's okay. So it's, yeah, that's weird. I'm going to have to watch it just to see if I can get like the actual, like an actual opinion for it, because it's so strange. It'd be like going to a baseball game and having no audience.
Well, that's not nearly as bad. Like wrestling, the whole thing is having the crowd there.
Having the entire crowd shout and scream. It'd be like going to Family Feud and you only have the six people on the stage. The entire audience doesn't even say anything. It's just like, all right, is this it? Okay, cool.
You can still play a baseball game or a basketball game without the crowd there. It'll be weird, But the game itself probably won't change all that much.
But wrestling, that's a unique situation.
Well, you need the crowd there.
Right on. So then the question is, do you know where it's going to be next year then?
I want to say it's in California.
So would you guys fly all the way out there to see it?
Yes. We could go to WrestleMania and to Disneyland.
Oh, that'd be an epic journey.
Yeah, we make a week of it.
It could be like a little sexy vacation.
Yeah. Some Disney and some wrestling.
And then maybe some beach. But you'd have to, when we went like 8 years ago, we were in Anaheim, and just driving around Anaheim is the most stressful thing that I've experienced.
Is it?
Because you get on a roadway and everyone's only moving like 30 miles an hour down the expressway.
Oh, fun.
But they're also like trying to merge over and no one lets you in and then everyone cuts you off. It's just a whole bunch of road rage and everyone's angry and mad. I don't like it.
Sounds great.
So if you do it, I've got recommendations for ways to save money.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's the way to do Disneyland on a budget.
All right, I'm listening.
We'll talk about it once you get there.
all right.
I don't want to give away all my secrets because then everyone will do it, and then if everyone does it, no one can do it.
That's fair.
And speaking of everyone doing it, I guess now's a great time to start off with Ryan O and the Mailbox of Doom, which is where I go into my mailbox and find all sorts of answers to questions pertaining to the audience.
All right.
Recently, I've asked a whole bunch of questions on Facebook and have gotten a whole bunch of answers because during this situation, no one has anything else to do.
Oh, so, that's very true.
So we asked them the question of what movie do you watch that instantly makes you happy? It's a good question. So right off the bat, we got Spaceballs.
Classic movie.
I'm still waiting for a sequel.
I don't think it's going to happen.
We got The Princess Bride.
Ooh, wonderful movie.
Pulp Fiction.
All right.
Blues Brothers.
Nice.
Which Sam hasn't seen Blues Brothers.
Yeah, I heard.
We'll need to fix that.
I don't know how she'll like it though.
Does she like musicals?
She does, but she also doesn't really like stupid humor. So that one could be a wash.
I think it's worth an experiment. Just like getting Adam to watch Austin Powers was an experiment.
Yeah, we finally watched Goldmember.
And does he understand what a smoke and a pancake is?
A smoke and a pancake.
Or a pipe and a gripe?
A bong and a blitz?
Or a cigar and a waffle?
Yes. he gets it. He like, the movie has moments, but my problem with it was too self-aware.
It's been in its universe too long, so just references. I think, what did Ozzy Osbourne say? Or was it his son, Jack Osbourne? They're making a reference about the other movie's reference.
Uh-huh. Yeah, boobs, they did the same fucking joke in the last movie.
I dig it, though, because that joke still plays.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of still playing, we got The Perfect Man. Have you seen The Perfect Man?
Which one is that one?
I don't know. It's on this list here. I'm assuming it's... Let's find out. I've got a magical thing called the internet.
Ah!
Let's see.
About to say pull up IMDb.
The Perfect Man. So I type in The Perfect M and Margarita shows up.
Nice.
The Perfect Man has Heather Locklear and Hilary Duff.
All right, judging by our audience, that's probably the one, because I put in IMDb and there's like five different ones.
I'm going to go with this one. It was the first one that showed up. So she goes, every time she goes through a bad breakup, she moves her two daughters elsewhere.
Okay.
Yep. So determined to make a home in New York, their latest destination, the eldest daughter, which is Hilary Duff, creates a fake online secret admirer for her mother, based on her friend's uncle. But as the romance develops, which is online and awkward, Holly encounters obstacles as her mom falls for the lie. Meanwhile, she's found her own love interest.
It was online dating in 2005, so, oh boy.
Yeah, back when you couldn't just be like, okay, cool, let's start a video chat.
Right.
Which back in the day, I think, used to be the ultimate goal, because you had to switch to like a different service for video chatting, because it wasn't really a thing back in 2005. You had to, because Skype wasn't readily available then. Yeah, so like no one had a webcam either, because webcams cost money. Nowadays, everyone has a camera on their device everywhere.
Yeah, all the devices come with them.
See, I remember having to buy a webcam for my YouTube show back in the day, and the webcam had like these fun like black and white graphics on it. I was like, I thought I was so cool.
They like weren't they like $200?
They weren't that bad. They were like 50.
Yeah. Okay. That's not awful.
Mm-mm, for a low grade webcam.
Okay.
Which nowadays, like little kids and their play school preschool toys have better quality imagery than that thing does. Just crazy.
Uh huh.
So continuing on with our list, we got The Way Way Back.
Okay.
Which has Sam Rockwell and Steve Carell.
Yeah.
About this kid who goes out to New York or like the boonies and has to deal with possible divorce. We got Shrek movies.
Okay.
Mean Girls.
Classic.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Nice.
The Goonies.
Nice.
Commando.
Okay.
Mamma Mia.
All right, that makes sense.
The Goofy Movie.
Nice, feel good movie.
Rat Race.
Hey. It's a race.
It's a race. Happy Gilmore.
Nice.
Lion King.
Okay.
13 Going on 30, Sound of Music, Hello Dolly. Let's see, we got a bunch more Princess Brides, Lord of the Ring, Pride and Prejudice, Singing in the Rain, Sneakers, Mary Poppins, It Takes Two, Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones, Meet Me in St. Louis, Arsenic, Old Lace, Without a Paddle.
Funny Deliverance.
Mm-hmm. Without a Paddle. Liar, Liar, The Holiday. Edward Scissorhands. That's a different story. Okay.
That's a weird movie, dude.
Yep. Princess Diaries. That's a different one.
Okay.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And, nice. Yeah. What would you say would be your movie that you would instantly watch that would make you happy?
My instant feel good movie. Probably like Jurassic Park always just warms my heart. Just right when that music hits, you're like, mm.
Right. When they, is it when they go through the gate or is it when they see the brontosaurus?
Both, honestly. The music in that movie is so good. It's timeless.
There were some times when I was walking into the dinosaur store. And I was walking into that area, and in order to like feel okay, I did put on the Piano Guy's version of that song.
Yeah.
So and I would time it so that I would see the store at the exact moment that it would go then it's going to bum 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 da da wa 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 wa.
Nice.
Also a good time. So Jurassic Park, you would say that's your instant feel-good movie?
Yeah.
How would you rate the Jurassic Park movies?
All of them? Oh, dear.
Yeah. There's five of them.
Yes. I'd go 1, 2, 4, 5, 3.
Gotcha. So it's the original... then it's the Lost World, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, and then Jurassic Park 3, which with the
Alan
with the weird satellite phone, the
the movie just looks kind of cheaply made, like, you know. They clearly spent all their money on the raptors, and that was about it.
Jurassic Park 3. Let's find out how much that movie was made for versus the one just before it.
It might have cost more. I don't know what, but it just didn't look good.
They had a $93 million budget.
Well, that's not that much.
And they made... $368 million in the box office.
It was surely off name alone.
Most likely. Let's see. The first Jurassic Park had a budget of $63 million and made $1.03 billion.
Uh-huh.
So 63 was the first one. 90-ish was the third one. The second one had a budget of 73, so they had a higher budget and performed less than the other guys.
Well, like the beginning was stupid, like when they're like doing their like windsurfing or whatever, or their parasailing.
Yeah,
and then everybody on the boat just like gone immediately. I was like, okay,
yikes.
I was like, was it the pterodons? But they weren't let out yet. So what happened? How?
Yeah, they go through the cloud, and then all of a sudden you're right, they're gone. Like, what? We never got an explanation as to what ruined the sails.
Like nothing makes sense.
but that scene probably was one of the cheapest scenes they did, because you have like an aerial shot. And you're like, okay. And then you can film 3 seconds later by replacing the parachute with the broken one, and then let it go. It seems like a easy shot to do.
Yep. I was just like, all right.
The next movie, Lost World, just to give a little bit more perspective on it, had a budget of $150 million. So like,
there it is.
Like almost $60 million more. And made $1.6 billion.
Everyone was super happy to see dinosaurs again.
Yes, they were. It was a big difference. Let's see, 2015 versus... What year was this one in? Well, the first one was 93. Second one was 97. I just don't have a year. Oh, there we go. 2001. So it was a long time to get rid of the bad taste, as they say about it, which is kind of what they did with Batman Begins, as in perspective to Batman and Robin.
Oh, yes.
Freeze well, my friend.
God.
Which is one of those movies where if we did talk about it on the podcast, that would be a rough one.
Well, it's so fun to quote because of how bad it is.
Yeah, I think like some of the worst movies have some of the best parts because of how ridiculous they are. You can instantly laugh with them.
Oh, 100%.
Well, like with Goldmember, it's not the best Austin Powers movie, but it's probably one of the most quotable ones.
Well, yeah, I've found myself quoting that one more than all the other ones.
Especially with the mole. It's a good time.
I just love Michael Caine. He's like, there's two types of people I hate in this world. People that discriminate other people. And the Dutch. I was like...
yeah, and it just gets more and more ridiculous as that movie goes on. Because it starts off as a spy parody. And then just ends up being its own child. Like,
it's like a meta Austin Powers movie. It's weird.
It is weird. And we're going to talk about more weird things right after this.
Did you know with Rhino?
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/everydaycosplayfinds for more information. The 90s are back, people, and the best way to get prepared is to buy some scrunchies. But why would you buy some from Target where your mother-in-law, sister, or friend could get the same one? How embarrassing. When you could have a unique scrunchie of your own. From handmade scrunchies to homemade throw pillows, What's the Stitch is your one-stop shop to get everything you could want. At What's the Stitch, you can pick out the fabric or pattern you want, and she can make it just like you want it. You can check out What's the Stitch on their Instagram at What's the Stitch KP and on Facebook at What's the Stitch KP. And now back to our show.
Did you know with Rhino?
So, speaking of other weird things, the movie that I have seen like more than other movies was the one that I used to fall asleep to in college, because it had just came out in like 2005, and I got the DVD, and like I'd watch it because it was one of those fun rom-coms, and I'd watch it, and it had Will Smith, so you think that life was great, and you got some good jokes and good references and some dancing and whatnot. And
I immediately know what movie you're talking about.
Yep, it was a grand old time. It was Hitch with Will Smith and Kevin James.
I have a soft spot for that movie, and I can't explain it.
It's corny in the right way. Like a lot of these romantic comedies about trying to find the right person, they go through some weird hoops. But this one describes exactly what it is. It's a guy who's trying to get, his job is to get people out of their own way so they can be more open to opportunities and possibly find love along the way, but he wasn't expecting to do so at the same time.
Right.
So it's great and corny. And then the Ellis Island scene is ridiculous. Cause first off, homeboy kicks the girl in the face.
Yeah, he just ninja kicks Eva Mendes right off her ski-doo.
And she goes right into the Hudson. It's gross.
You don't want to be in the Hudson.
Mm-mm. You don't even want to be in Hudson's department store, that is. It's a blast from the past, too. But then they get to Ellis Island, and mild spoilers if you've never seen the movie. He's supposed to show her, like her family, like where they came from. And then she openly like screams and has a panic attack over the name that she sees from her family, like the butcher of Cadiz.
I just like how it's like a slow burn. She looks like she's all like touched, and then she's like, you're like, what the hell?
And the look on the security guards and Will Smith's face is ridiculous. I love it. I've got a lot of soft spots for many of Will Smith's movies, especially Wild Wild West.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not great, but it makes me laugh.
That one has so many things wrong with it, but I kind of have a soft spot for it, too.
But it also has a giant mechanical spider, which is both ridiculous and amazing at the same time.
Oh, speaking of giant mechanical spider, one of the, like, what is it, on the speed round or the battle round for that game yesterday was movies with monsters in it.
Okay.
She was like, Wild Wild West. I was like, what? She's like, the big spider at the end. I was like, first off, that's not a monster. Second off, no. I was just like, she's like, but it's a big spider. I was like, it's a big mechanical spider.
Yeah, it's not quite real. And the producer really wanted to have a giant mechanical spider in it. I think Kevin Smith talked about that particular producer in one of his long stand-up things. I think like one of the evenings with Kevin Smith. But he was saying like he wanted it in there for the Superman film. Because they were going to do a Superman film in the late 90s. And then that one morphed into Tim Burton kind of being involved. And then Nick Cage was going to be Superman. It got really weird for a bit. But the moral of the story, if there is one, is it was supposed to be a giant mechanical spider alien thing that was going to be fighting Superman. So instead,
I would have watched that movie.
Oh, I would have watched that movie too. It probably wouldn't have been great, but I would have watched it.
Nah, it'll be one of those movies that we'd go, remember that crap?
Yeah, remember Superman 4?
Yeah.
Have you seen Superman 4?
Which one is that one?
That one's the one where Lex Luthor creates a being out of the sun to fight Superman.
I can't remember. After the first two, it gets bad real quick.
Yeah, with Richard Pryor like shaving off half pennies in order to make millions.
Yeah, I was like, what's that about? I was like, why is Richard Pryor here?
So, well, it's like, why do you need a Superman movie with shaving off pennies? Like, how does he need to punch that? Because what do you need Superman for? He's supposed to lift things, punch things,
and fly. He needs to fly.
And if he's not doing any one of those, why is it in a Superman movie?
That's valid.
I don't get it. It just doesn't make any. Even the science behind Superman is a bit wonky.
Let's not think about the science. We don't need to think about the science. It's not important.
Well, let's actually think about science in other ways then. With our science fact of the week.
Segway.
I have my moments. About bacteria, human body and bacteria. The human body is full of friendly bacteria with organisms on our skin, in our guts, helping keep our bodies humming. So here's a random question for you. How many species of bacteria do you think are in breast milk?
Oh, God.
Yep, living nutrients to help feed a life, a little life being into the world is trying to grow up. Think of a ballpark of how many species of bacteria could be in that.
I don't know. I have a feeling I'm either going to greatly overshoot or so severely undershoot.
So give me the over-under. What do you think?
I'll say a million.
So it's definitely less than a million.
Ooh, good. That's good. I want to be pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to go like 150.
It's more than that. So it is 700 different species of bacteria.
700. Interesting.
700. They're not all bad.
Well, yeah. I know there are helpful bacteria.
And the helpful bacteria, what helpful bacteria immediately comes to mind?
I feel like now is the time to tell you that my career path has led me to a place where I don't remember any of that information.
Isn't that awesome?
I mean, like I've made it pretty far so far.
Yeah, without knowing all that stuff.
If you would have hit me with that question in like 2003,
yep,
I may have been able to help you.
Back in the days of knowing what chemistry was.
Yeah.
But have you heard of lactic acid?
Yes, I have heard of lactic acid.
So that's helpful bacteria, and it helps ferment milk to create cheese, sour cream, yogurt, and stuff like that.
I do like cheese.
So helpful bacteria is used in order to help create cheese. So that's what we need, some helpful bacteria. Not hurtful, but helpful. And speaking of helpful things, here comes another random fact of the week. What do you know about eagles?
Eagles?
Yeah. What can you tell me about eagles?
The very difficult golf shot.
and they're also a semi-decent team in the NFL.
Old rock band.
But what else do you know about eagles?
depending on the species, they're endangered and they're pretty cool, awesome big birds.
Big birds. That's the one. Eagles are incredibly strong. So, true or false, an eagle can kill a young deer and fly away with it.
I can see that going down.
Oh, it's 100% true. Yeah, seeing a large eagle take a little tiny deer, just scooping it and then dropping it 100 feet.
Holy shit.
Yep, that'd be an epic time. Eagles have some pretty immense capabilities. So just typing in, how strong is an eagle? Here we go. Facts about a bald eagle's grip is believed to be about 10 times stronger than that of a human hand and can exert upwards of 400 pounds per square inch.
Well, dang.
Says that a eagle, which is like a 12-pound bird.
What's the strongest eagle? My money would be on the golden eagle.
Aha. The golden eagle instead of the harpy eagle?
Yeah.
Let's see. Strongest eagle. There are many different eagles species, apparently.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. We got, I think it's a harpy eagle.
Huh.
And the African crowned eagle. Those are the two strongest eagles.
Those are some big birds.
Going into a little bit more information about the harpy eagle. Harpy eagle. Let's figure out how big this bird is. Harpy eagle. The females weigh about 20 pounds. That's a big old bird.
Jesus.
Yep. About as big as a, sometimes bigger than a turkey.
That thing just flying through the air.
Yeah, imagine a turkey, but faster, and can rip through things.
Just, that'd be so scary.
A flying turkey with giant talons?
Yes.
Just coming and chasing after you, as opposed to hearing like a... And then you
that's a cool noise. A turkey is coming to mess your whole life up. Turkeys are not happy.
I disagree. I've seen like 20 different turkeys when I used to live in Kissimmee. They lived in like the little neighborhood, and they would just roam, just 20 of them, like in a giant group of turkeys, just going
just
back
and just a freaking gang of turkeys.
Oh yeah, you weren't sure if they were part of the Sharks or the Jets, but you knew that they meant business because they were moving pretty quickly and just like having a good old time, just frolicking around.
You know, the reason they were allowed to do that is because the last dude that tried to stop them is dead.
He tried to mess with the turkey, and then he ended up being a jive turkey himself.
You mess with the turkey, you get the.
Have you ever seen the Turkey Whisperer?
No, I didn't. What?
the Turkey Whisperer was a YouTube video that was kind of popular about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it was this video about a guy who pulled up to like a large pen of like 100 turkeys. And so that they were in like this little cage, like a little turkey farm. And he rolls down his window and he goes, boo. And then like all the like 100 turkeys respond. And then he does it again. He's like, woo. And they're like, wah! And it goes back and forth. And he starts laughing because of how ridiculous it is.
Okay.
The Turkey Whisperer. Yep. After this podcast, I just recommend, I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to send you the Turkey Whisperer. I'm going to post this video on our Facebook page because it is dumb and funny at the same time.
Well, that's kind of what we do here.
That's exactly what we do, dumb and funny. And speaking of dumb and funny, King Henry VIII. Do you know about King Henry VIII?
Henry VIII, I am? I know some, but not much.
What do you know about him? Like, what immediately sticks to mind besides Henry VIII, I am?
He came after the 7th.
There you go, and before the 9th, I think.
Yeah, that adds up.
I remember something about a whole bunch of wives.
Wasn't that just kind of what they did back then?
Well, I think this one, he beheaded most of them because they weren't giving him a male heir.
I mean, that's one way to do it.
Which, you know, now that we know scientifically, it's the males. The male determines whether it's going to be a XY or an XX chromosome.
Yeah, unfortunately for all of those headless wives, they didn't have that information.
Nope. But he was always prepared because he was it. He used to sleep with a gigantic axe beside him. And apparently he also had a huge collection of weapons, which included 6,000 of blank. What would you say the weapon is that Henry VIII had? 6,000 of what?
I'd say daggers.
It's actually handguns.
Handguns?
Yep. Henry VIII, during the era of guns, had 6,000 of them in his in his armory.
Dude had a whole bunch of handguns.
It's ridiculous. Knowing about a beheading dude, he had handguns.
Could have saved some of his time. He just shot a bitch.
And just taken her out to a date instead of, you know, having to marry all of them. Just take him out on a date.
He's a man of principle, okay?
He'd rather have his beloved wife as opposed to, you know, just like Rhonda over down the street. Like, how's it going, lady?
This is Karen. We went out on a date.
Mm-hmm. She's my mistress for this week.
He'd be like, Ron, dude.
It's weird. Like, so we're during this social distancing. We're inside here. I'm watching a lot of TV and movies and whatnot. And and Rachel and I have been watching Downton Abbey.
Okay.
We're on like season 5 of Downton Abbey. And it's them going through the 1920s being slightly more progressive when it comes to dating. Because back then you really didn't date. You saw them like once or twice and then married them and then got to know each other.
That's one way to do it.
And a lot of people didn't like who they married. So introducing, you know, let's go out for a week and engage in activities for a week safely and then come on back and then we might get married. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not feeling this one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't think he's the right fit for me, but that was a fun weekend. Anyways, let's find a new suitor or a new heir or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Downton Abbey, it's a unique thing. It's a slow burn of a show, but like it's filled with so much juicy drama that I can't really stop. Like we're hooked. What have you guys been watching lately?
Oh god, what have we been watching? The last couple days, I decided to start a new video game.
Which one?
I decided to play The Last of Us.
Is that the like apocalypse? That doesn't have zombies in it, does it?
It's kind of a zombie game. You know that what's it called? That like fungus that like takes over ants.
I don't know about it, but now I'm intrigued. Fungus that takes over ants. Okay.
Yeah. Google it.
All right.
There's this fungus that like basically turns ants into mindless zombies. It like a plant grows out of their heads,
okay.
And then that ant goes back to the colony and just wreaks havoc. It's so weird.
The fungus is called Ophiocordyceps unilateralis.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, like, a little plant grows out of the little ant's head and then it just becomes a mindless drone and just goes on a murder spree.
Yeah, it looks like someone stuck a fuzzy pin, like a safety or like a needle pin or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like a pinpoint, stuck it into its head, and then a small, like, little branch came out of that.
Yeah. Well, this game is basically that, like, jumps to humans.
Okay.
But they basically are zombies. Like, right when they get infected, they become, like, normal zombies that, like, rah, rah, and they're trying to eat you. But if they're infected for a long, long time, the, like, fungus, like, basically shoots out of their head and they become blind. And they're called clickers and they basically hunt with sound.
Like, oh, sure. Bats. Yikes. Echolocation and stuff.
Yeah. They're called, and they make creepy noises, and they are more durable. And that is that game.
So, what's the premise? You're trying to get from A to B while finding weapons and killing these guys.
Well, it is like kind of an open world game. It's a linear story, but you can wander around.
A lot of side quests. What you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, it starts off like right when it goes down, you're with your daughter and you're like running, and then this military guy stops you and he gets the order. He has to like kill you guys. So he's like, but there's a daughter. And then he like shoots you guys, but you like fall and he you lose your daughter. She's dead.
Yikes.
So that's how the game starts. And then it jumps 20 years and you're just like, it's like a lawless wasteland. Basically there's like quarantine zones.
Kind of like I Am Legend?
Kind of.
Okay.
Like, there's little pockets of humanity.
Gotcha.
And, like, you get tasked with, like, this job to, like, escort this girl to, like, these people called the Fireflies. They're, like, the Resistance, basically.
Okay.
And it turns out the girl is infected, but she got infected, like, 3 weeks ago, and she hasn't turned, so she's immune.
Ooh, it's one of those.
Yeah, so you have to get her to them so they can, like, figure out why she's immune.
And then they can try to create a cure based off of her blood and whatnot and try to save the world.
Yes, but when you get there, you figure out that, and well, during the whole game, you're like becoming closer and closer, and he's getting all father figure-y again, and he's reminded of his daughter. And when you get to the end, you figure out that they have to kill her to operate on her brain to figure out how she's immune.
Oh no, that's not cool.
So you decide, F that, and like she's like it, like under anesthesia, so she's out. So you basically go on a rampage and kill all the fireflies and just escape with her. And like she wakes up at the end of the game and she's like, oh, where are we? She's like, and you're like, just driving. And she's like, did it work? And you're like, no. So basically you doom humanity because you didn't want to see this girl die.
Yeah, but that's almost like an impossible. I get it. It's an impossible situation. It's pretty much what happens in Star Trek 2. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one, but Captain Kirk is like, nah, screw that. I want my homeboy back.
Yeah, you're like, ah, no, bro. Where you at, though?
So you finished the entire game?
Well, no, I've played it before.
Okay.
I'm just replaying the remastered version because the sequel's coming out soon. So.
Gotcha. And is this a PlayStation game or is it an Xbox or all systems?
It is a PlayStation exclusive.
That is bogus.
Yeah, it's a Naughty Dog game. It's the people that did Uncharted.
Which is also a PlayStation exclusive.
Yes.
I don't like this exclusivity between consoles.
Yeah, I know. I'm lucky I purchased a PlayStation to go along with my Xbox, because I'm an Xbox guy.
Same.
So, but I always wanted to play like certain games on the PlayStation, because they... PlayStation has a knack for doing better story-driven games.
Like, well, they also were the only ones to have Kingdom Hearts for the longest time.
Yeah, like, such as that, or the Uncharted games, or, what is it, Horizon Zero Dawn, where you're just running around a future landscape with giant mechanical dinosaurs. I'm like, that sounds cool, but you gotta do PlayStation and or like the Last of Us or
the God of War
or God of War and stuff like that. And they're also the only system that has a baseball video game, for crying out loud.
That's messed up.
If you want to play a baseball video game, you have to get Sony.
There's no other baseball video games out there.
Nope, the show is the only one. There's like crappy like RBI baseball, but I don't even think.
Yeah, here you're right. I seeing MLB The Show 19.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Let's see, we got more of the shows. Before that, EA Sports did like MVP baseball games for all consoles.
Yeah, there also used to be 2K baseball.
Yeah, I'm getting MLB 2K 13 for 360 over here.
I think that was the last one.
And then you get The Show. And then you go way, way back into like baseball games and you get like Base Wars 1991, the old school game.
I remember Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. That was my jam.
Oh, yeah. Right here. Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball 1994.
Hell yeah.
So then you're restarting The Last of Us.
I did that. We watched a couple movies. We've been watching a couple shows. We're thankful that The Masked Singer was recorded months ago.
Oh, sure. So they're still doing episodes. It's kind of what we're doing right now. which is recording like five or six podcasts in a row and then slowly releasing them throughout the spring.
Yeah. Just like that. So thank God that happened, because we love The Masked Singer. It's the dumbest show that I've ever watched, but I can't get enough of it and I can't figure out why.
It's a train wreck. It's a musical train wreck. But also you're playing the guessing game because because you think you know what's up, but you don't. But so it's like trivia. I get it. Like, I understand why it would be a fun thing.
I'm just happy I get to, like, some of them can really sing, like, for their Grammy winning artists and just good performers and stuff. Some of them suck because that's not the genre of entertainment that they're in. But I'm just happy I get to watch like some cool performances and not hear a ridiculous sob story like every like American Idol. They're like, well, I've been living out of a shoebox for 6 years.
Or well, my mother sold her kidneys so I could fly to Los Angeles.
You're like, Jesus.
It's like, who wants to do that? Yeah, I can't. I haven't been able to watch American Idol since oh geez, Chris Daughtry.
Oh yeah, he didn't even win.
No, that was like the last time I've seen American Idol.
And he was on Masked Singer last year.
Oh nice.
He didn't win that either.
I still want Jason Street. You know, good old homeboy.
Oh, well, that's it. He was that dog that I thought was Jason Street for a minute.
Gotcha.
He was that Wayne Brady won. Spoilers.
Spoilers out there.
It happened last season. It's your fault at this point.
It's true. If you're not caught up, then it's your fault. Well, speaking of catching up, I found something ridiculous based on this coronavirus nonsense going on right now.
Okay.
It's about being like Kylo Ren and how Kylo Ren would win this COVID-19 situation going on.
Okay.
His reasons are, number one, wear a mask. So that's number one. Number two, doesn't visit his elderly mother.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Number three, socially and emotionally distant.
True.
And number four, talks to his girlfriend only on Skype. Be more like Kylo Ren. That's what we got for our little terrible joke of the week. I like terrible jokes. They make me happy.
Same.
So filling out towards the end of this podcast here, we've now got our word of the week, which is, of course, where I get to tell you a word, and I'd like you to give me the definition and where you think it comes from. Sound good?
Oh, okay, let's try this.
Okay, so our word of the week is lampoon.
Lampoon?
L-A-M-P-O-O-N. Lampoon.
Whenever I hear that, I always think of National Lampoon.
Sure.
So let's see, National Lampoon. Like,
which
I've actually used that word. I know what it means.
And of course, National Lampoon derives from the Harvard Lampoon, which is the publication, or like it's an old Harvard magazine.
Right.
But it's also a little bit older than that.
Isn't it like to criticized, like making like publicly or something like that?
Super close. It's a harsh satire.
Okay.
Yeah. And where do you think it comes from? Like what time frame, what country?
Ooh, country. Lampoon. Is it Canadian?
It's actually English.
Okay.
In the 17th century, that was the first use for it. Also, it probably comes from a verb from the French, lampon, which lampons, meaning to guzzle, or I don't even know what to guzzle is. Let's figure out what the heck a guzzle means. It's another word of the week. G-U-Z-Z-L-E, guzzle. To drink something greedily.
Guzzle, guzzle.
Yep. Guzzle it down, baby. Let's guzzle. Let's drink jauntily and amusingly. So, yeah. So over the past hour, you and I have talked about the Blockbuster game. Would you recommend that game to everybody?
Like, if you've ever watched the movie, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's even on the box. It's the game for anybody who's ever watched a movie. If you're a good bullshitter, you'll have a good time.
Nice. And you recommend that? Do you recommend that more or less than The Last of Us?
Well, I mean, The Last of Us is not a very family-friendly game, so I'd probably recommend it for more. Like, I forgot, like, the beginning of that video game. It's sitting there, and it's just, it's basically the news, and it's like, the pandemic is spread from here to here. The government can't get a handle, and Sam is sitting there watching it. She's like, ah.
It's like watching the last part of, like, the Rise of the Planet of the Apes with the that little virus going on.
Yeah, except the zombies.
So we've also talked about wrestling, the instant feel-good movies, Jurassic Park, helpful bacteria, eagles. We talked about turkeys, King Henry VIII, The Last of Us, and The Masked Singer. So that brings us to this part in the episode where we have to create the question of the week. So, Nate, what do you think the question of the week should be?
The question of the week. Let's see. Well, here. You can see. What do you do to pass the time when you're bored?
What do you do to pass the time when you are bored? And to immediately answer that question, Nate, besides the Blockbuster game and some of the video games, what else do you do to pass the time when you're bored?
Well, I've been mixing some music. I've been doing a lot of that. I've been listening to a whole bunch of new music. I'm finding a bunch of cool new, like, retro wave music, like synth pop, synth wave music that I'm trying to mix together. I'm doing a lot of that. I've been working out a lot. I've been cooking.
Ooh, cooking. Any new recipes you're working on?
No, because I'm not the best cook.
Well, I should, like, bring you over and we could learn how to cook together.
Okay. See, like, Sam and I cook for two very different reasons. She cooks to experience new things. I cook to fill the void in my stomach.
Okay. So now it's trying to find the happy compromise.
Yeah. Like, I can eat the same thing all the time. I don't care. I just, like, my goal is to not be hungry anymore. That's it.
Okay.
But Sam's like, we had that yesterday. I'm like, ah.
Little variety goes a long way, apparently.
Yeah, like, I get it.
Right on.
We got a grill over here. I was grilling up some stuff yesterday. I hadn't grilled in a while, and I was like, ah.
Sweet. So you do...
Turned into Tim the Toolman Taylor.
So some video games, some working out, some cooking, some movies. What else do you do when you're bored?
Well, like especially, like, right now, like, you're basically being told to stay home, it becomes very easy to get bored and to get all stir crazy and whatnot. But what I find kind of hysterical about this is 95% of the time, everybody everywhere is spending all their time just looking at their friggin' phone and staying home. And the second people tell you to stay home, They're like, but what about my freedom?
Yeah.
And everybody's outside now. They're like, this is what we always do. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, you're when you're outside, you want to be inside. When you're inside, you want to be outside. You're right. It's about that freedom and change.
Yeah, everybody just doesn't like to be told what to do.
Yeah. So it's like you play video games all the time. Uh-huh. And you want to play video games all the time. Uh-huh.
Correct.
Well, I'm going to force you to play this video game this week.
No!
Yes, you must. The government said so.
What game is it?
What game is it indeed? I guess the answer should be whatever game makes you happy.
Well, yeah, like, the one thing, like, it does suck to have to stay home and mess around. Like, you can read a book or four.
Yep. You could read a book or four if that's your thing.
Or a shameless plug for one of my good friends, my good friend Kate. She wrote a book. You can get her book and you can read it.
Nice. What is the name of the book?
It's called Mixtape: How to Stop Listening to the Recordings of Your Past. It's like a self-help book.
Nice. That's awesome. That's a little plug out there. And so that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I dig it.
There's tons of stuff you can do. Tons of stuff.
Totally. I agree. And they can also listen to other episodes of this podcast.
You could also do that. Pretty soon, we're going to be coming at you with, what was it, Ninja Turtles 3?
Ninja Turtles 3, baby. Turtles in Time. It's going to be epic.
It's going to be something.
It's going to be a journey. I don't know what type of journey. I'm hoping it's going to be epic. It might just be a show.
Oh, it's going to be funny.
That's true. It's going to be great.
I'm going to need a beer.
Or two. Well, we'll see. We might just progressively make the episode more and more interesting as we go along.
I'm intrigued.
Oh, it's going to be great times. So for those of you out there, if you want to join us on that conversation, this conversation, or of course answer our question of the week, which is what do you do to pass the time when you're home and bored, you can do so by checking us out on Facebook, Did You Know with Ryan O, Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O, or you can email us didyouknowryano@gmail.com. Thank you once again for joining us on this fun episode, sir.
Oh, you are more than welcome. Happy to do it.
It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you. We hope that you folks out there had lots of fun listening to this episode. We know we did recording it. And for those of us here, to those of you there, we recommend that you find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
You.